Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is Jim Tradel from MAV TV Motorsports and Speed 51. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I appreciate you taking time out. Of course, Jim and I go way back to our Milwaukee Mile days and even prior to that. And certainly appreciate you coming on the show today. And I'd like having you on the show just because the ARCA series has certainly been around for a long time. And I've always enjoyed that this series, and the 2020 ARCA Menards series was certainly an interesting year and kind of a feel-good story, too. With Brett Holmes and his family run team winning the championship this year, wasn't it?
It was amazing to see how they came together last year. Brett Holmes brought in a crew chief, Shane Huffman, a former driver, and he had four guys with him, and they all went to work for Brett Holmes in his shop in Mooresville, North Carolina. And what they did is bring confidence and a winning ability to Brett Holmes Racing, which was really funded out of his dad's huge construction business. They do a lot of utility work and leveling for large box stores all over the Southeast. So they had the wherewithal and the ability to put the money forth to win this championship. But yeah, it was really good to see how well they ran this year. They outran the competition that were running full time. We had a Wisconsin driver, Sam Mayer, win five races this year. He just turned 17 in June. It was great to see him race as well as he did in winning the Sioux Chief Showdown as well, a series within the series. He captured that victory by running second in Memphis in September. As crazy as this year was, when it came to the go racing, I think we'd race virtually every week from June through September, minus maybe one or two weekends off.
Yeah, and you know, with the ARCA series, you know, racing where they race to, it's such a variety, even running on the dirt this year. And it certainly has a flexibility to it and some opportunities for Sam Mayer, young drivers, but also like Ty Gibbs too, for those drivers that are a little bit too young to race full time in the NASCAR Xfinity or Truck Series. It certainly gives them an opportunity, does it, to race ARCA and get some full body stock car.
Oh, for sure. The latest name to come out of ARCA is Haley Deegan. She's an 18-year-old that's racing out of California, came through the off-road ranks, raced in the NASCAR West Series, ran a full season this year in the ARCA Menards Series. She's already going truck racing. So as much as we followed Natalie Decker in Wisconsin here to follow her through to what she's doing in the truck series, Haley's going full-time next year with the same team she ran ARCA with this year, DGR Crosley. And that's going to be exciting to watch and see how she progresses. And she really used it as a stepping stone. In all reality, she said, I'm here to learn. I'm not here to win races. I'm not here to lead every lap. I need to learn something every time I go on the racetrack. And what hampered her and many other young drivers, and I think that's why we'll see a really strong field next year, is the lack of track time. ARCA did have some practice sessions. They did have a ban on testing, which kind of cut back on some of the larger funded teams that would take young drivers to test for a full day a week or two prior to to a race event. So that changed things up. So she didn't really learn as much as she thought she could have or wished she would have this past year. But she did run all 20 races, finished third in points, and won the Bounty Rookie of the Year Challenge. So I think looking at that, it's a great facility building series. We race at Daytona. I say we because I've been a part of the series for a while now, calling them on TV for MAV TV and Fox Sports, and I was at all 20 events again this year in the booth for MAV TV and working in the field with the Pit reporter team during the Fox portion and providing a lot of other content for the series. So it means a lot when I say we and us because I feel I'm part of that series. It's a great family of people to be around. And to see how Ty Gibbs shine so brightly and Riley Herbst's teammate, that number 18 team, they did really well. They won 7 races combined. Ty Gibbs won 6 and Riley beat them all at Michigan. So to see how well that team ran, they set the bar. Sam Mayer set the bar on the short tracks. So it was really cool to see how that played out for the full season and how Brett Holmes was able to win the championship over Michael Self in that last race by just 12 points.
Let me sneak in one more question here before we get Jeff on here. You know, we had over 80 drivers had the opportunity to race in the ARCA series this year. But the car counts is down. It's interesting because, you know, they came in with a new car that's supposed to save money. But I guess, you know, there's that initial, you know, investment that teams have to make. And I mean, what's the ARCA series trying to do to expand fields and kind of open it up for more teams?
A lot of time, great question. A lot of time was spent when ARCA was acquired by NASCAR officially. It was announced at Talladega, April 2018, I believe it was. So 2019 and 2020 would have been the years to really build toward making the NASCAR Can-Am Pro Series West, the NASCAR Can-Am Pro Series East. They had similar rules, but not like ARCA. They had the same body, but the chassis were different. The engines were completely different, driveline different. So the series spent a lot of time trying to make sure everybody could play on the same playing field. The engines were different. The ARCA Elmore 396 engine had 100 more horsepower. So they took that off of that engine with a tapered spacer to make it equal with the K&N East and West, what I call the recipe engine that Carl Wegner of Marcus & Wisconsin developed for the platform. That turned some guys off. That also made guys wonder, do I need to invest in what kind of engine do I need? And both engines were allowed this year. Actually, you could run the legacy engine. You could run a built motor that you might have gotten from Joe Gibbs Racing 15 years ago and race in the ARCA series this year. They tried to level all that out. Through that leveling and what the teams had budgeted in the West, East, and ARCA Menard series, you didn't have 35 to 40 cars every race. You had less cars, and the teams would have to come from further away, East and West, to race with ARCA. And I think everybody was hoping that there would be more interleague play, if you will, between the West Coast, East Coast, and what we found, you know, racing across 20 races in the ARCA Menard series. So how are they going to build that car count? Try to establish common ground. Try to establish rules that people can buy into. That recipe engine, I call it. You know, I look back to ASA. ASA was what I followed with radio and television for years. In 1992, when they made the decision, we're going with our own chassis. You got to buy this chassis. This is what you have to run. They were laughed at, scoffed. But if you wanted to play, especially on national TV on short tracks, you won ASA racing. By the year 2000, they introduced a fuel-injected engine. You got to run that engine and nothing else. Those bold moves were a slap in the face to some, and some left. But it also attracted more. What I fear is that there's been so much time spent on trying to make things compatible that, yes, I have a car legal to run if I live in Roseville, California, but it ran last night in ARCA West. But I may not want to go all the way to, you know, St. Louis to run a race. I may not want to go all the way to Memphis to run a race, which ARCA Menard Series did this year. And if they did, some of those West Coast teams ran 2 or 3. We had the Rev Racing group out of the ARCA Menard Series East do 3 or 4 races this year with their 2 teams. So they need to have more cross-pollination. But I also think it may come down to a hard decision of saying, this is the engine you have to run so that you get back to more horsepower and get the driver's life at stops and back in the flow of getting track time that will help them develop at this level before they move on to the 3 national series.
The future of NASCAR is obviously healthy, and there's, you know, good battles, Sam Mayer, you know, all the ones that you mentioned. But my question is, does winning the ARCA title hold the same prestige now that it once did?
Jeff, your answer comes with a checkbook. How big is your checkbook? That will determine where you get to go in every level. The answer is no, because if you won the ARCA championship, then you would get a chance to run for a national team. You may be able to become a development driver, a test driver for what was, you know, Hendrick Motorsports said 4 or 5 drivers testing their stuff when the car of tomorrow was developed. You had drivers signing exclusive contracts to do that. Landon Castle comes to mind. That kid made more money on off race weekends than he did on race weekends because he was testing for these teams. And that was the ability to have some of the ARCA drivers meld into it, whether it be through manufacturers or teams just saying, we need more people to do our pit stop practice. And you can do this and that. We'll give you a test here and we'll run an ARCA race there with our old cup cars. That has all changed. Where will Brett Holmes go this year? I mean, he's pretty much self-funded. So if he goes truck racing, he'll still be self-funded. Will that earn him a spot after winning the championship this year to go race for GMS Racing? No. You need to bring the checkbook. So you have to start with how the model is now compared to 5 years ago, compared to 15 years ago, compared to when Nagy Catona was winning ARCA races. The ability to win races and get opportunities like Chase Briscoe has in Cup this coming year, those are very few and far between. He's the 2016 ARCA Series champion, but his story is incredible, and it's a unique story of opportunity meets with talent versus what you have in the bank and how big a check you can write.
All right. My last question for you. I know that you just worked, you know, the Winchester 400. You got the All-American 400 Snowball Derby coming up. You're, you know, going to be working the NASCAR Championship at Phoenix. So you're all over the place. Where do I get a Jim Trito bobblehead or, you know, something? Where can I buy one of those?
I love being at these races. And I have no answer for you, Jeff. I did not develop a bobblehead. I'm not that kind of guy. I love following racing. I love going racing. These three big races upcoming, man, the Winchester 400 two weekends ago was awesome. To be in that environment, it was electric. The fans loved it. Speed 51.tv is a streaming platform. If you haven't watched Short Track Racing, there's pavement, there's dirt, there's all sorts of racing on there. You can subscribe to it. Sometimes, you know, like this coming weekend, I'll be at Nashville for the All-American 400 weekend. Well, there's 7 divisions racing that weekend. The local divisions are crowning their champions on a Friday night. That's a free view if you subscribe to Speed51.tv. You can pay-per-view just a Saturday or Sunday. Sunday is the All-American 400. It's a 300-lap super late model race, which I think 4 to 5 Wisconsin guys will be in, and then a 100-lap pro late model race, which will be the season finale for the Nashville Weekly drivers. It's also the same dudes that run the Snowflake at Pensacola Snowball Derby. That race is in a month's time, the first weekend of December. Those will be carried live on Speed51.tv, so I get all jazzed up, and I like studying all sorts of things. Steve, you mentioned 80 different ARCA drivers this year competed. Only 4 competed every race. So if you follow a series of IndyCar, you know there's 22 cars on that grid. You know that there's 20 drivers in every race. Well, I love the idea that I get to follow 20 cars in a race, but only 4 or 5 drivers raced every race. I get to dig deeper into what their story is, tell that story. Now I get to a 7 division race weekend. I'm in heaven. I love the idea of the fact that I need to know who these Boris Compact Touring Series guys are. They're on 4 owners at Bristol, at Winchester, and now racing at Nashville for the first time. So I like digging into all that. So to answer your question, Jeff, no bobblehead, but I really enjoy it, and I hope people know that I care about what they see, and I want to be right and factual, and that's, I think, how I still have opportunities doing this from my little house in Muskego, Wisconsin, to go chase racing all over. And Phoenix, you mentioned. The NASCAR National Championship, all 3 national series will be decided in Phoenix for the first time. And that's my second home because I've been going there since Alan Kowicki won in 1988. And I get to be back in the public address as the only PA guy there on National Championship weekend. It wasn't my decision. They said, we need one guy. Jim, you want the gig? I said, absolutely. So I'll be out there as the only track PA guy as NASCAR crowns all 3 of their champions in what will be Jimmy Johnson's final race. So I'm pretty excited to be part of that, too.
Jim, you know, we have some extra time here because our next guest, Steve Wittich, is in St. Pete, and he's stuck in a press conference, and it's interesting, and maybe you can touch base on this too, Jim, because I haven't traveled as much as you have this year just because of the COVID restrictions and whatnot, but, you know, he's at a press conference, and they actually won't let him leave. To walk us through, what are some of the things that you've encountered this year with the way auto racing had to adapt to the situation we're in today?
It's just weird not having fans around. It's weird having select crew members. ARCA only allowed 4 crew members over the wall, 9 per car number to travel. You had restrictions in how you got into the garage. You had restrictions in, you know, wearing the mask the entire time and not being able to converse. And for me, I'm a storyteller. I want to know everybody's story. But it's so hard to find a way to communicate when you're not in the garage for more than an hour and a half before you really present your car for qualifying. Sometimes you present your car to line up and race without anything prior to that on track. Way different approach. So our production team went into Zoom call mode. So we did a lot of Zoom calls during the week. So that's way different than walking from holler to holler or seeing a friend and communicating, hey, you told me this last race, what about this coming race? So we had to connect in way different ways to communicate. With having some select fans at some racetracks, it was really cool. But it also felt isolated as well. Whether I be in the booth for Mav or on pit road with the Fox production team, the environment was just different. It was kind of, I like the word malaise to describe what I felt. It wasn't really excitement. It was a matter of function. I got excited when the race started, but until then, it just felt like you were kind of, I don't know, playing pong without two paddles. The ball just kind of kept moving around, and you were just kind of moving with the flow of where you had to be when, and you didn't really feel like you were part of something until the race started.
Good stuff as always, Jim. We certainly appreciate you taking time out, your busy schedule, and look forward to chatting with you again. What are your plans for 2020? I mean, do you have any set in stone plans yet for 2021? Or, I mean, are you like kind of like all of us just waiting to see how it goes?
I usually solidify things in January, which is not comforting, but it's what the nature of the beast is. And I know that things change, and I hope to be back with our friends on MAV doing more than ARCA Menard Series racing. Well, I'd love to be back at the Chili Bowl. I've been there before. Looking forward to kind of trying to beg my way into that TV crew as it's going to be live on that Saturday night in January with nothing else going on for that indoor midget race. So I'd be excited to be part of that or anything else that comes my way. To answer your question, I hope I have everything back that I've had the last couple of years, which would be about 31 weekends away, whether it be doing track public address at Daytona, Phoenix, Michigan, Auto Club. I'm sorry. I hope they had Auto Club Speedway. My friend Dean Strom got that gig, and I hope to join him there. Homestead Miami Speedway I work at. So I really want to do all that. I still want to cover all the ARCA races, and I'm selfishly still looking for other opportunities. So I want to make sure I have fun. But the gig securing starts kind of this week, and it won't last until, you know, I'll probably go through January before I really know my full schedule, or at least have a really good idea what I'm doing next year. And Speed 51 has been great to work with as well at all these big races. I really enjoy doing that, including this coming weekend in Nashville. So tune in, speed51.tv.
You bet. Oz, good stuff. Jim, thank you so much. Appreciate you being on the show. Look forward to chatting with you again.
Thanks, guys, for having me on. Take care. And Jeff, good luck with your own bobblehead. Let's get you going on one before you even think about it. Put one out there for me.
I'm in. I would love it.
Take care, guys.
All right, thanks. That was Jim Tradel on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
If applying for a home renovation loan has you feeling anxious, breathe, and let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of banquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com.
Coming up next, we're going to talk with Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com. And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It is Eddie Lapine. How are you doing, sir?
Good. How are you guys today?
How's the weather in St. Pete?
Oh, my God. I'm on my third shirt today already. It's very humid, as a lot of the participants would say right now, but it's just great to be at the track and seeing people that I haven't seen in a while. It's like an old family reunion, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, we were texting some photos back and forth, and it looks like there's vendors there. Kind of give us the feel, and I guess there's some fans there, and you know, kind of walk us through the vibe at St. Pete this weekend.
Well, it's a real positive vibe for people in Florida, too, to go to an event, basically. And it's very exciting to be here amongst a lot of diehard fans and some people that aren't diehard fans. They're just coming out for something to do on a Saturday in St. Petersburg, and it's pretty exciting. I mean, the town is buzzing anyways because of Tampa being in the World Series, and now you add some race cars through the streets of St. Pete. It's awesome, definitely.
And, you know, I guess the big the one debut I've been kind of anxious to see when it was announced earlier this year is Scott McLaughlin in the Team Penske car, the number 3 shell car. How's he doing so far this weekend?
Well, I mean, he was 10th fastest. Never been here. He was 10th fastest in practice. There was like an hour and 35-minute practice session, and they're going to go qualify in actually another half hour. Colton Herta was fastest, P1. Dixon was way down on the charts. I think this is going to be a very interesting weekend, very limited in practice. I mean, it's basically going to be the practice session that they had earlier. They're going to go qualify, and then they're racing tomorrow. So they're going to have to figure it out very quickly. And I think it's going to be a very – you got a lot of rookies out here. Well, especially Scott McLaughlin. I mean, he's been doing some testing with Penske, which has helped him. But, I mean, to show up at St. Petersburg and be that fast, it's pretty amazing.
Well, it's a very compelling story for those who might not be familiar with it. He comes from Australia. He was running in the supercar team down there, and that's basically, it's kind of take a road racing and NASCAR kind of like a IMSA and a NASCAR, kind of put them all together in a blender. That's what they have down in Australia, where they're four-door sedan racing down there, kind of like what they do in England and Germany. Very competitive down there, and they were with Dick Johnson Racing, who's been around for years. And Scott McLaughlin is one of the fastest drivers down there. Penske's walking away from that series at the end of this year, and they're bringing him over to the IndyCar series, basically because of his test. He had a test, I think it was at Alabama, at the road course in Alabama, and he blew everybody away at just how quick he was, not only at the end of the day, but how quick he was from the outset. And he, you know, everything worked out well with the team. Everybody on the team loves him. So it's quite exciting to see him in the car next year. And I think it should be a nice shot in the arm having some new blood in the IndyCar series, especially at the front of the pack, Eddie.
Well, I mean, definitely Penske knows good talent, as we well know. And to see him here at St. Petersburg to start off for next year now, looking forward to seeing him. I mean, he basically owned that series over there in Australia. So he's a great guy, great personality, and it just brings another touch to the series globally. And I think it's really important to see these guys like that. I mean, they've had a stellar rookie field this year again in IndyCar racing, and they've backed it up with last year's stellar rookie field. So you got Colton Herta fastest going into qualifying, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this rolls out with qualifying and with the race tomorrow.
Yeah, for someone who had, let's face it, kind of a rough start of the season, Colton Herta is certainly kind of coming in his own this last third of the season, hasn't he?
Well, a couple wins and podiums, and, I mean, he's really talented. And, you know, with Andretti and his engineer that's followed him along the way, they have very good communication. And they're working very well together. And that's what you need right now in this series, because let's face it, I mean, this isn't like you have a dominant team. I mean, every time these guys go on the track, there's somebody new popping to the top of the charts. And that's what's so good about the IndyCar series. It's not just the same guys. It's always somebody different. So don't be surprised. I mean, you'll see, you know, I'm sure when push comes to shove, when qualifying comes in, I'm sure Dixon will be right up there at the top. So, and Joseph Newgarden will be right there too. I think you'll see those guys come to the top when qualifying comes, because there's a lot at stake, the championship. And Scott would like to win another one, and so would Joseph Newgarden.
We're talking with Eddie Lapine on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Lots to come yet still on the Final Inspection Show as we go into the final half hour here. Let's take a quick break now. We'll bring Jeff back online. And in the next segment here with Eddie, we'll do our predictions for not only Texas NASCAR, but also the IndyCar at St. Pete, the IndyCar finale. And who's going to win the championship, Joseph Newgarden or Scott Dixon? We'll get Eddie's prediction as well as Jeff's coming up here in the next segment. And then we'll also talk to Steve Wittich and get his opinion on some other news breaking in St. Pete regarding Jimmy Johnson, and also whether Indy and also the Indy Lights program in IndyCar racing. So lots to come on the Final Inspection Show. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda. Joining us once again, it is the Polish Pipe Bomb, as well as Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com. And time now for predictions. And I guess let's move to Texas, where we have the Xfinity Series today. And do we want to do trucks too, Jeff, or should we just do Xfinity? What do you think?
Well, we might as well do all three, right?
Oh, man. You want me to do the truck series too, huh? All right, well, let's do trucks. And we're kind of throwing Eddie out in front of the bus here because I'm sure he didn't study up on it. Eddie, are you confident in a truck pick today?
What are you guys trying to do? Throw me under the bus, seeing I did so well last week, picking two winners last weekend, and now you're really railroading me here. I'm lost. I mean,
I tell you what, we will give you for the trucks. Well, let's pick chalk for him, Jeff. Let's give Eddie Sheldon Creed, because I like that. I like that too for the trucks. Sheldon Creed, even though Brett Moffitt might be a viable pick. What do you think?
Hey, are you guys going to pick F1? I mean, you know, F1's going on too.
Well, we can do F1, but we'll do F1 like we usually do, no Mercedes. So you got to pick everybody, you know, the best in class.
Best in class. That's a good idea, Steve.
Jeff, what do you like for trucks?
Trucks, I'll take Moffitt to go back-to-back.
Who won last week, if I recall, in Kansas.
He finally got that monkey off his back. It's been a rough year for Brett Moffitt, and finally found victory lane. You could see just the relief and, just the weight off his shoulders at the end of the race. I think he rides that momentum and parks it again in victory lane.
Yeah, and the mustache is back, too.
Yeah, I know. I like it.
How about Xfinity Series, boys?
I'm going to go with Ryan Sieg.
Really?
You know, we'll see if he can. It'll be, one hell of an upset. But I love his story this year, and I'm really rooting for him. So I'm going to take Ryan Sieg this week.
I'm
back with Chase Briscoe.
Okay, that's definitely a chalk pick, but nothing wrong with that. I'll go off chalk then. Brandon Jones, who I wasn't a big fan of at the beginning of the year, but he certainly has shown a lot more maturity than he did last year. So I'm going to go Brandon Jones for the Xfinity Series.
Yeah, that is a good pick. He's been running well, and he's turned a lot of heads this year with his performance.
I'm typing these in as we talk here because we don't have an intern. We should have an intern on this show for doing this, right?
So I need Eddie an intern for my life.
What about for the Cup Series, Jeff?
Cup Series, I'm going to go with somebody below the cut line playoff driver yet again, and I'm going to go with Truex for tomorrow.
Okay. Martin Truex. Martin Truex Jr. Eddie, what do you like for in the Cup Series?
You know, I got to go with Kyle Busch. He's just due, I think.
Well, he certainly is, that's for sure, huh? Wow.
he's definitely due. That's one hell of a drought for him, and you know it's going to end sooner or later.
Right.
Well, I will go chalk in the Cup Series. I'll go with Harvick.
All right. Pick up his third playoff win at Texas in a row, huh?
And then we have the IndyCar Series at St. Pete. We'll give Eddie the first pick here for the IndyCar Series.
I really would like to see Colton Herta end the season with another win like he did last year. It's good to see the youth up there, and it would be really good. And it's basically hometown for Mr. Steinbrenner.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Jeff, what says you?
I'm going to go with Takuma Sato. I think he ends the season on a high note, and we won Indy this year. I think he'll win at St. Pete.
Oh boy, should I? You know who I'm looking at.
Dixon.
Well, you know what? I want to pick McLaughlin, and he certainly could do it. But actually, I will go with, for IndyCar, I will go with Newgarden. Newgarden wins the race, but not the, he just comes just a bit short in the championship.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And, final championship points close.
Yeah.
Dixon, you got to go with him, definitely. They've been there so many times, and it'd be great to see him win, too.
Yeah, you know, and I thought Newgarden brought up a good point a week or two ago where he says, you know, Dixon has been so strong, he's been having, he hasn't been running the best, but he hasn't had any DNFs. He hasn't had that issue that puts him all the way in the back, and and you wonder if that's in the back of in the team's head. You know, we've been lucky so much, and here we are at St. Pete, which and especially in that backside, Eddie, it gets tight. There's some tight corners in there, and you could be brought up in somebody else's issue, couldn't you, at that race?
Well, that's the big deal that could happen tomorrow. You know, the qualifying is so crucial at St. Pete or any type of street race, and I think that's going to be a big factor with the contenders. And, you know, that's what Joseph kind of needs is a little help, and I think qualifying is really going to dictate a lot at the start of the race because you really don't want to be in the back here. There's too many young rookies that, you know, want to make a name for themselves at the last race. I mean, this is the last time they get to display their talent and possibly maybe win a race. So you're going to have a lot of people fighting for positions, and that's when it's going to happen, definitely.
It'll be interesting to see. Well, we certainly appreciate everybody taking time out. Eddie taking time out on the show, and Jeff, thank you once again. We'll chat again next week, and we'll take a quick break here. When we come back, let's talk to, from Trackside Online. We'll talk to Steve Wittich, also reporting live from St. Pete, after this on the Final Inspection Show. And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda. And joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is one of our favorite Canadians from Trackside Online. It is Steve Wittich down in St. Pete. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me on, Steve. Yeah, it's definitely a little different than the weather I'm used to, but I'm going to take it. It's awfully sunny and in the 80s here, so I don't want to say too much about that. I know you guys are having some cold weather up there, so I'll try and keep the weather talk to a minimum.
Appreciate that. And, of course, the big news today down in St. Pete is an announcement. Of course, it's Jimmy Johnson, we knew, was going to IndyCar with Chip Ganassi Racing. And there are some of us, including me, was wondering, how is he going to put together a sponsorship package without the Indianapolis 500? Of course, Jimmy is just running the road courses and street course races in IndyCar in 2021. But, Steve, looks like they were able to put together a deal for him, weren't they?
Yeah, they sure were. They just announced about 45 minutes ago that Carvana is coming on board. And I know a lot of people that are familiar with them. They're the used online car sales company. You know, they have those big cubes where they have the car vending machines, but they're also sort of the first ones to do the no-contact car delivery in the pandemic. So it's a big get for Ganassi and Jimmie Johnson, and it should be a good spot for Carvana to be as well. You know, with obviously they've got some big competitors in this series that are, you know, Penske Automotive Group isn't a sponsor, but you know, Roger Penske obviously owns the series and the 500, and he has 400 some dealerships, and then Auto Nation's on board with two teams as well. So you know, I'm thinking this is going to be it's interesting. It's a little bit of dealership wars coming up here.
Yeah, it is a good point. It's always interesting, you know, and you know, when I worked at the Milwaukee Mile, we were always very cognizant of sponsorships, who's sponsoring who, and you don't want any conflicts of interest from our side setting it up. And it works the other way too. If somebody gets into a sport, there's usually sometimes an opportunity for their competitive also to kind of get into that same sport or in that same arena, so to speak. So interesting how that works out.
Yeah, you do see that quite often.
Yeah, it's good.
It's very interesting. It's something you see on occasion, and it seems to be, you know, monkey see, monkey do. One big car dealership or one big car group comes into a sport, then they all kind of follow, and then, you know, one will leave, and then they all kind of leave at the same time. But it's definitely a good thing for the sport. You know, I think Carvana did $3.9 billion in sales last year. They sold 178,000 cars, so that's wow. Pretty impressive. Yeah,
that
exactly.
Is.
That's I'm like, wow, that's impressive. So it's good to have a company that big getting behind you. And you know, they do a lot of online advertising. They do a lot of advertising in general. And I think it's a good opportunity for the team and Jimmy and IndyCar to maybe get some activation involved, you know. Getting to see an IndyCar and all those Carvana ads you see online, that'd be huge for the sport. Just, you know, being visible as a sport is huge, and they do a ton of online advertising, so hopefully we'll see that.
Yeah, and it also is nice when a sponsor gets into the sport that you heard of. You know, and
yes.
You and I have been around this sport, you know, we've been at tracks and where they make this announcement and, you know, so-and-so is our new sponsor. You're like, who the heck is this? You know, and, you know, sponsorships, you will use, you know, motorsports as a vehicle to kind of get the word out about their about their product. But in this case, there's always I don't want to call it stability, but it feels good when somebody is kind of almost taking and endorsing the IndyCar series by becoming a part of it, and it's somebody with a high profile like Carvana.
Yeah, it really does help the sport when there's familiar names involved. You know, you and I go back to the time when it was all beer companies and you know, cigarette companies, and those are companies everybody knows. Well, everybody knows Carvana because everybody watches videos online and they do a ton of that advertising. And it is, you're right, it's stability. You know, you get a $4 billion company that's giving IndyCar and the team and Jimmy himself, you know, a big vote of confidence. And that's, you know, it's momentum building is what it can be. And I think,
yes.
You know, with Roger at the helm, there'll be that. It's going to be more often that you see big sponsors like this come on board.
Yeah, and also the other news this weekend is Takuma Sato re-upping with Rahal Letterman Lanigan Racing. And, you know, if you look back at his career, you know, he spent, you know, quite a few years in Formula One. He comes over to IndyCar. You're thinking, well, here's another Formula One driver trying to finish out his career in IndyCar. But he certainly is taken to the IndyCar series. He's now a two-time Indianapolis 500 winner, multiple wins in multiple years. And he certainly is in the fabric of the IndyCar series, isn't he?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think when Takuma's career is over, he will be IndyCar driver Takuma Sato, not F1 driver Takuma Sato. And yeah, I know how much he loves racing here. And he, you know, some guys might at his age, I think he's 44 maybe now. When they get to their age, they might think about retiring. You know, they just won the biggest race of the year for the second time. But I know Takuma wanted to come back, and I know the team's really happy to have him back. It's like everything else, stability is a good thing in racing. And that team, you know, right now they're, what, fifth and sixth in points. So that's an awfully good season for them. And I talked to Graham yesterday, and he thinks that there's not much improvement to be made for them to, you know, move into championship winning contention. So, you know, just a little bit more consistency at every kind of circuit. And, you know, they've started working on that already. And I think with a little bit more testing in the offseason, that we're going to see that could happen.
We're talking with Steve Wittich on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, talking the IndyCar series. And I was at a party in Indianapolis, kind of a motorsports get-together, so to speak. And I met this fella named Stingray Rob. And I'm like,
Stingray Rob, yeah.
Stingray Rob. And we talked a bit, and he introduced himself, and we chatted, and what he wanted to do with his career, young driver and whatnot. I'm thinking, you know, American driver, it's not the easiest time to be a driver in open wheel racing at the time. But I tell you what, he's really kind of been working his way up the ladder system. And tell the listeners, give us a quick couple minutes on Stingray Rob, one of the more interesting characters in the ladder system.
Stingray, you know, he moves directly. He's one of the best shifter kart drivers in the world. And anyone who knows karting knows that shifter karts are not easy to drive. But he made the move. Instead of going to USF 2000, he went right to Indy Pro as a 15-year-old. And, you know, his first couple seasons were kind of rough, and I wasn't sure he was going to make it. And then about halfway through last season, he actually moved to Juncos Racing for last season. About halfway through last season, something clicked. And he became more aggressive, and the speed kept getting better. And then this year, he's just taken another leap forward. I mean, he's the last three qualifying sessions, he's dominated. And that doesn't happen very often in the ladder, where a guy, you know, he qualified 3/10, 2/10, 3/10 faster in the last three qualifying sessions. And it doesn't happen in this kind of series where everybody's so close. So it sort of speaks to what Ricardo Juncos has done at Juncos. He develops drivers, which is, you know, what the ladder series should do. And I think some of the credit for Stingray, too, needs to go to he has helped management and, you know, just a little bit of help with his career from Peter Rossi, Alexander's father. So, you know, having those people around you that have been there, done that, you know, help guide someone else's career is huge for a young driver. And it's even a bigger, you know, confidence boost when, you know, he got his first win earlier this year, and he's been almost unstoppable since then. But you'll see him in Indy Lights next year, which has been revived with a 20-race schedule and a bigger scholarship. So that's going to be an interesting series. You'll have Kyle Kirkwood, who's a scholarship winner from Indy Pro 2000 from 2019, and then Linus Lundqvist, who just won the FR Americas, Formula Regional Americas Championship, which is an F3-based car. I think their final race weekend is this weekend at COTA, and they Linus has pretty much won every race there, and I've heard nothing but good things about him. So I think it's going to be a competitive series. You should have 13 or 14 cars is what I've got right now, a couple new teams. So I think Indy Lights is on the way back.
And pardon me, we're just running a little late, Steve. You got about 30 seconds. Tell us what happened with the Liberty 100. No Indy Lights at Indianapolis Motor Speedway next year.
Yeah, it's interesting. Interesting situation, and it's a plus and a minus for the teams. I've had some say it's okay, some say it's not great. It comes down to the fact that the owner of the IMS wants one oval race there, and right now that's going to be the Indianapolis 500, right? The everything's been moved to the road course for the NASCAR series. So it's going to be one oval race at IMS, and that's it. And you know, I, as an old-timer, that's not the worst thing in the world for me. So I'd like to see the lights guys get some more oval experience, but I know they're looking at trying to add some more of those events.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We're running up against the break here. So thanks for coming on the show, Steve. Thanks for everybody coming on the show. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week on the Final Inspection Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.